WCCA. And I'm Mike Benedetti. Today, I'm talking with Nicholas Revel of the Participatory Culture Foundation. The PCF is a Worcester-based nonprofit that does work at the intersection of technology, media, and personal freedom. Nick, welcome to WCCA.
Thanks a lot. I'm happy to be here.
What can you tell us about the Participatory Culture Foundation?
Well, we're a relatively new nonprofit. We started about a year and a half ago, and we're working to build software tools that enable people to both create and watch TV shows over the internet. The idea is that online we have a chance to really change the way media works, to open up television, which has formerly been something that's only really been able to be controlled by a small group of people, generally large corporations, wealthy people that have access, and really open it up to everybody. And we want to make sure that as video moves online, it goes there in a way that's really independent and open for everybody.
So the software that you guys are making sort of contrasts with a lot of the software that people are using today, which are sort of controlled by whoever, somebody else, somebody who's not the person using the computer.
Right. So we're trying to make something that's really designed with the public in mind, with the user in mind. We're a nonprofit. We're not trying to squeeze money out of our users, and we want to make something that's really lets people connect to any video source they want to. So in contrast to something like YouTube, which is doing extremely well, has a lot of content that's created by users, but is still one centralized website owned by Google and controlled in a way that really puts that company at the center of the experience rather than the user. Our software works with YouTube, but it also works with hundreds and thousands of other sources for video and really puts the user at the center and gives the user the ability to pull in from a bunch of different sources and watch anything that they're interested in.
Okay, well, let's get a little bit more specific. The flagship product that you guys have put out, and you're a nonprofit, so all these products are free of charge.
Yep.
The flagship software product that you've put out is called Democracy. And this is like a video player. It's kind of like a little bit like QuickTime, maybe, or Windows.
Sure.
Windows Media Player.
So Democracy Player is a video player. We build it so that it can watch as many video formats as possible. So you can watch QuickTime videos, MPEG videos, Windows Media videos, almost any format you'll be able to watch on Democracy Player. But it goes beyond a typical video player because in addition to playing video, it lets you organize video on your computer, create playlists, be one central place for all the videos you have in your computer. And then most importantly, it lets you connect to these streams of video that are coming from the internet and can be published by anybody.
And this is what you guys call a channel, but it's not really like a TV channel. It's more like a person's list of the videos that I'm putting out or videos that I think are cool or whatever. It's some electronic list that somebody's posting.
Right. So online, you can create more of an on-demand type of user experience where people can pick the shows that they want to watch, get those, and then watch them whenever they're interested in it. So a channel goes from something that's a live stream of content where the user comes to it and sees whatever happens to be on at the moment.
That's like TV. Like
right.
You turn on channel
like
13 and whatever we got on is
exactly,
what you get to watch.
Like cable TV, broadcast TV. The model that we're working on is on demand and you're able to access whatever you're interested in when you're interested in it. So the channel concept becomes more like a collection of things that you have access to, and new ones are published all the time.
Okay. Well, let's see. I know we have a clip of using Democracy Player. Maybe we can bring that up on the screen and talk about that a little bit. And actually, I think WCCA's channel is featured in this clip.
Well, what a coincidence.
Which is pretty cool. So here's somebody looking through programs that are on the WCCA channel. There's one that's downloading. They click on John Kerry and they start downloading him. They click on one that they've already downloaded. Here's a clip of the great Chris's Corner wrestling show on WCCA. The quality is actually pretty good on this clip. And so, The person just says, I want to download the shows, and I want to watch the shows when I want to watch the shows, and there it is.
I think the WCCA channel is a great example of how people can use Democracy Player both to connect to the world at large. You can be getting channels from Europe and Asia and North and South America, Africa. We have over 700 channels listed in our guide, so you can really go broad around the world, but it also can let you connect to a really local experience. And if there's people publishing video channels that live in your neighborhood, organizations like WCCA in your city or in your town creating content, it's another way that you can connect to them, another way you can have access to the stuff they're putting out. So it both gives you the opportunity to go broad and also can connect you back in to your local scene. Another interesting thing you can do is you're able to search some of the really large video repositories. We mentioned YouTube, that's one of them. Google Video is another. Yahoo Video is another search engine for video. In Democracy Player, you can run a search on any of these sites, and you can save that search, and it'll keep looking for new videos and downloading them as they come out.
Oh, in that search. So whenever you fire it up and you say, I want to refresh, it'll say, here's the new stuff on YouTube that's about the city of Worcester.
Right,
and then you can say, cool, I want to look at these, and it will be downloading it for you in the background while you're browsing the web or cooking dinner or whatever. And then you sit down, and everything's all downloaded, and you click play.
Exactly. So I do this, and I can see, you know, clips that are coming in. Anything that's about Worcester that shows up on YouTube, I can watch. And it's just it's interesting to get little glimpses of what people are doing with video throughout the city. And also, you know, sometimes you get a clip of Worcester, England thrown in there, too.
There you go.
So it can connect people both internationally and to their local community. And a lot of people are using it as a way of creating community media, creating media that's around a specific topic, a specific interest or a specific location, and getting that out in that community, but also to people that are interested in it that don't necessarily live there.
Yeah, it's been a great use to WCCA. I mean, we post videos of our programming all the time. We're always putting new videos up online, and you don't want to email everybody on your mailing list every single day to say, yeah, we put up an episode of Chris's Corner or whatever up today. It's great to have that channel, that subscription thing going on in the Democracy Player. So when somebody fires up the Democracy Player, it says, oh yeah, here it is. Here's the new thing. Do you want to watch it? It's all right in there. There's no clicking on stuff in email, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and having a bunch of channels collected into one application really gives you an experience where you don't have to remember to go check this web page to see if there's a new video, have a list of bookmarks that you're going through. It's all in a list of channels that you're subscribed to, and the software will check those automatically. If you want it to download the videos from those channels, if you know that you always want to see what comes out on the WCCA channel, you can check a box, and anytime there's a new video, it'll download it automatically. So you open up Democracy Player, you could be subscribed to 300 channels. It would check them all, let you know when there's new stuff ready to watch, and you don't need to remember to go through and look at everything. It's great for sites that update often because you'll always get that new stuff, but it's even better for sites that update rarely. Let's say somebody makes, you know, funny animations, and they make, you know, 10 of them a year, which is, you know, a lot of animation, but you don't want to be checking that website every single day to see if there's a new clip. This way you're subscribed, the software checks every hour, and, you know, once a month or so, it'll see that there's a new clip, download it automatically, and you can watch it.
So what kind of people is the Democracy Video Player intended for? Is this for the everyday person just using their computer to check email and that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. And we're really shooting for a really broad audience. And we spend a lot of our time, you could say most of the time that we spend designing the program and building it, is trying to make something that's really easy to use, that anybody can understand when they sit down in front of it, and that, you know, works like other applications and really has an intuitive experience. So
and somebody can go to it's getdemocracy.com is the website, and they can go there and download it, and there's no licensing, and there's no, you guys aren't tracking what they're doing
right.
or anything
it's,
like that.
It's 100% free, and there's no adware or spyware or anything like that. It's open source, so if some programmer wanted to change the way it works, they had a different idea for it, they can use that foundation of code that we've written and change it and do something a little bit different with it. And so if you go to getdemocracy.com, you'll be able to download it. Should be easy to install, and it should be, we hope, pretty self-explanatory how to get started, how to find videos, download them, and start, you know, getting a collection of channels that you're interested in.
Now, most of the software that I use has fairly innocuous names like Firefox or mm-hmm. Backpack, Office. Why is this called Democracy?
Well, we really want to the motivation for making the software is twofold. You know, we want to give people a really good user experience. We want to give people an easy way of accessing video on the internet, but we want to do that because we think it's important for media. We think it's important that there not just be a few large corporations that control the media that we see and, you know, limit it in all sorts of ways what we're seeing and what we're having access to. We think that the internet creates an amazing opportunity to really decentralize media, hear a lot of new voices, a lot of different kinds of art and news and culture. So our one way that we're approaching that and that we want to send that message is by creating software that's really professional, easy to use, you know, a sort of a world-class user experience. But then the name Democracy reminds you that it's about more than just watching funny videos on the internet. It's about changing the way media works. And, you know, television is the most important medium in our culture. People spend a lot of time watching it. A lot of how we understand the world around us comes from it. And so when you change the way television works and you bring a really different model to that, you're changing the way the culture works. And so we want a media that works more like a democracy. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has influence. And so that's where we get the name from.
I think a lot of people aren't familiar with that idea that technology has political implications.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time when I try to talk to somebody about this, especially if they're a well-educated person, it takes a while to sort of get that idea across. Because, you know, they're just like using their computer, right? They're just using their web browser and they're looking at some websites, right? There's nothing particularly political about that. That doesn't, in their, you know, they don't think that that has any impact on their personal freedom or the way they live their life when they're not sitting there staring at a screen.
Yeah, I think if you're not involved in technology, you know, making technology, building it on a day-to-day basis, it's easy to sort of take for granted what comes along. Mm-hmm. But the internet is a perfect example of technology that could have gone in a different direction. And if anybody has ever used AOL, the old-fashioned AOL dial-up, which some people still have, where you dial in and you're in AOL's own little bubble of content that they made. You know, this existed before AOL would even let you get on the internet onto a regular web page. You just dial in and you're just using AOL's services. You know, online technology easily could have gone in that direction. Something that's very controlled by one corporation. They create their own little bubble of services, and you're not connected to, you know, web pages that people are making independently.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we have, you know, because it came out of a government situation, academic situation, the internet is something that's really decentralized that gives everybody a voice. And I think that really makes a lot of sense to people when they see that anyone can have a voice, anyone can make a blog, can make a website, can get out there, can reach thousands of people. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And the crucial thing to remember is that didn't happen by accident. People worked really hard to set up a computing system that was open to everyone, that was decentralized. And every time there's a new technology, there's a chance for it to go in a very closed direction, a very controlled, closed direction that tends to just follow the money. And there's a chance for it to go in a really open and decentralized direction. And so as video moves online, we're trying to build the technology foundation that keeps it open, that makes TV and the internet as free and decentralized and decorporatized as possible.
This is really key to a lot of what WCCA does. I'm one of the people who volunteers to make their website and put up mm-hmm. videos and stuff like that. And WCCA is not going to strike some big deal with YouTube or whatever to upload all of our stuff. It's going to be something that we're going to have to do ourselves. You know, it's something that we don't want to have advertising necessarily associated with, any kind of censorship necessarily associated with. And, you know, I think we want to put up videos that are going to be out there for a really long time. You know, we want to be able to put up a high quality video. We want to make it easily accessible to people in Worcester, outside of Worcester. And so tools like the ones that you're talking about are a really big part of that. Because again, if the internet video experience is centrally controlled by somebody, then that's somebody that you got to go talk to, or somebody whose website you got to go through every time.
And let's say YouTube decides, okay, now they need to start making money on the videos, and they're going to require you to put an ad at the end. Maybe that's something you don't want to do, mm-hmm. But now you're sort of locked into their model. We really want to give people an opportunity to use any video hosting service they want. Use their own website, use their own server if they want to do that, and let people control the media in the way they want, and we give the user a tool that lets them connect it to all these different sources of content.
Well, you know, when you bring up giving people the freedom to choose among multiple options, it kind of reminds me of this whole idea of free culture, which is the movement we've been talking about. And the idea of free culture is not necessarily that it's free of charge. It's free as in freedom, right? And many economists have made this argument that's the way that culture should work, because it's of more economic benefit to everybody. That if you've got a culture which is centralized under one person's control or a couple of people's control, then you could get more of a monopoly kind of a situation. Yeah. And when you have a culture which is less centralized, where anybody can participate, where anybody can put up their video, individual people can make their own. They could go to a site like Rever, for example, and set up advertising just like they could set up advertising on their blog. It allows actually a lot more competition and a lot more economic growth, in the short term and in the long
term.
Yeah,
I think you get more interesting art and culture that way also, mm-hmm. when you have people that are willing to take risks, have a chance to do something that NBC might not be willing to do because it's too unusual, too risky. When you give people a chance to create their own culture, to take pieces of things that other people have made, put them together in a new way, build on top of each other, the way artists have always done, responding to each other's work, incorporating ideas, and building on top of that, you end up with much more dynamic kinds of content and art that really is response to different things that are happening in the world, different trends that are happening in art, and they're not all sort of buried under this umbrella of, is this profitable, is this marketable, are we willing to take a risk on a new kind of show?
Are we willing to take a risk is a huge question that people ask, right? Because even if something could be profitable, you got to look at it and you got to say, well, what if it fails?
Right.
And is this, a lot of the culture that you see coming out of the big media conglomerates is like kind of homogenized. It's kind of the same. Occasionally somebody like does something really new and fresh, and then everybody kind of follows them around.
Yep.
Whereas on the internet, on the other hand, when you've got a million people putting up videos or a million people putting up their art, some of them are thinking about making money from it, some of them aren't. You have a lot less gatekeepers, right? You have a lot less people sort of deciding what gets to go out and what doesn't.
And then the stuff that really engages people can bubble up to the top, and you see things that never would be on television getting millions of people watching it online, and that's really that kind of change in action. And I think when people look at traditional media, and especially mainstream corporate media, they sometimes, and this especially comes up in terms of news coverage, sometimes have almost think that maybe there's a conspiracy to make really homogenized content, news that's really narrow and only covers certain subjects over and over, and it seems like people are intentionally trying to limit it. But often I think there's much more mundane reasons why we get such narrow, homogenized news, and it's these questions of being willing to take risks, being willing to try new things, you know, not wanting to upset the advertisers that are paying for the show.
Right.
It's a lot of really boring stuff that's, you know, maybe less interesting than if it was
a big conspiracy,
but it's actually more insidious because the people, the people that are participating in it don't even see the way that they're being influenced by the corporate model that they're stuck in.
Yeah, because the individual or the small business is usually much more willing to take risks and try crazy stuff than the big business, which is not going to, you know.
Absolutely.
Everybody has to cover their butt in a situation like that. Well, let me ask you, what channels are you excited about these days?
I'm just excited at how many channels we're seeing. And, you know, we've gone, when we started, we first set up our channel guide that's built into the software about a year ago. And, you know, we started with maybe 30 or 40 channels. Now we have over 700 channels, and they're coming in faster and faster as more and more people
But people don't have to rely just on you guys' channel guide. That's kind of like your own little indexed stuff on the web, but anything on the web is fair game.
Right. So we make a channel guide that sort of presents things that we think people might be interested in, that's open to anyone that wants to submit a channel. But you can also go directly to a source of video, subscribe right from their website, and point our software at anything you want. So there's no limit there to what you can have access to, and that's a good balance, we think, because it lets us present things that you know, are not pornographic or not offensive. In this channel guide, anyone can subscribe to it, but it doesn't mean that we're censoring in any way. If we make a wrong judgment, or if you want to see something that falls outside of what we are willing to sort of put on our recommended list, you can go right to that website. They can have a one-click subscribe button on their site where you can easily subscribe to their show, or you can just type in a web address of a page that has videos, and the software will automatically look for those videos and try to download them. So that way, there's, you know, an absolute minimum of there's really no censorship at all of what you can watch with the software, but we're able to make some recommendations also of what, you know, we think most people would be interested in.
All right. You guys are more like a VCR and less like a video store.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? We're more like a web browser, something like Internet Explorer or Firefox, mm-hmm. where you can point it at anything you want. And none of the videos that you see, even the ones that are listed in the channel guide, none of that video comes through us. It doesn't sit on our servers. It, you know, it's not moderated or censored by us in any way. You're going directly from your computer to the people that are hosting those videos. Okay. And so there's no mediation. There's no way that we could shut down a channel or censor a channel or anything. It's generic technology. The same way you can point your web browser at any web address, you can point Democracy Player at any web address for videos.
So that said, is it a politically awkward question when I ask you which channels you're excited about? Are you willing to answer that?
Oh, not at all. There's a channel called Channel Frederator that I think is a really exciting channel for a couple of reasons. It brings together some of the best cartoons that are being made on the internet. People submit them to the channel, and they put it together into, you know, 10 or 20 minute video of these different cartoons put together with, you know, little funny jokes in between that the channel produces. And I think it's really interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's really well done. It looks like a show that could be on the Cartoon Network, could be on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. They pick really high quality cartoons that people are making. And it's stuff that, you know, might just be a one-time cartoon somebody made on the internet, but if it's really interesting, if it's really funny and engaging, it can get on this and will go out to everybody that's subscribed to that channel. So it's both, you know, really professional but really open to people that, you know, have any kind of work style. Maybe they make one cartoon every 5 years, they could still get on this show. So it's really open in that way, and it's a perfect example of what kind of exciting things can happen on the internet when you have something that's really open to all those different kinds of creativity.
Okay. Well, we have a couple of minutes left. I wanted to ask you, what are you guys doing in Worcester? Because Worcester's not like the most wired town in the world, right? And the first time I heard about you, I had met one of your software developers at a party, and he was explaining to me what you guys did, and it didn't click. I was like, cutting edge media, politics, and Worcester, like, it just doesn't...
Sure.
You know, I just couldn't absorb it the first time he explained it to me.
Well, the real reason we're in Worcester is because three of the four of us that founded the organization are from Worcester, and the other programmer who founded it with us went to school in Worcester and lives in Worcester, and we like living here. The internet lets us stay connected to, you know, Silicon Valley, New York, L.A., all those places where people are that we need to be in touch with. We can do that online, and also some of our employees are live outside of Worcester. About half of them actually. Mm-hmm. We have a programmer in Paris. We have an employee in Boston, another programmer in Boston. Our new business development director lives in Phoenix. And so we're able to, because of the internet, we're able to have a really decentralized organization, but, you know, have our home base be in Worcester, where we want to live. And I think that actually has some real benefits for us. It being in Worcester, you know, means that we have less meetings with people, which has its pluses and minuses, but
right.
It lets us really stay focused on what we're doing, and it's our own sort of little bubble where we can go in, really solve our problem, do it our way, and, you know, have the connections that we need to have, but really be able to stay focused. Plus, we found a great office space on Belmont Hill in an old Worcester fire station.
That is really, really sweet.
So we're on the first floor where the two fire trucks would park. We have a huge open room there, and there's a little carved City of Worcester seal above the doorway when you walk in.
I think that's awesome.
We love our city, and we're really happy to be here.
Is there any chance the landlord is going to make the fireman's pole operational again?
We're in negotiations to get the pole installed.
You guys would just be totally like the monkeys. That would be great.
It would be like Ghostbusters, too.
All right, well, I think we're about out of time.
Thanks a lot.
This was great talking to you.
My pleasure.
And, you know, to the people at home, go to getdemocracy.com and download the stuff and play with it and watch some videos and, you know.
And tell us what you think, if there's anything we can do to make it work better for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, like, just watch some cool concert videos or whatever and change the world at the same time. Doesn't get any better than that.
No.
This program was directed by Nicole Belanger, and the music is by Siddharth Veda. Copyright 2006 WCCA. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license.
Six companies own 90% of the media in the United States. These corporate filters monopolize the airwaves and limit the views you see in the media. The Worcester Independent Media Center is a free and open website that is turning up the volume on the voices the corporate media usually ignores. Check it out at worcester.indymedia.org. That's worcester.indymedia.org.